BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. I do want to begin with a warning today. Our topic is not politically correct, but it is vitally important that we discuss it today. Matter of fact, there is a study that's come out called the Transgender Adolescent Suicide Behavior. And according to our guest today, this new study is out that examines the risk of suicide among transgender teens, and the results confirm a long pattern of data. Transgender teens attempt suicide more frequently than adolescents generally. Some have indicated it's because family, friends, and school and society have not been affirming. Or could it be for some other reason? Could the study be used to pressure parents to put their children through radical transition-affirming therapies or surgery? Our guest today said this would be a serious mistake. Joining us on the topic of transgender suicide, we welcome back Dr. Michelle Critella, who is president of the American College of Pediatricians and a general pediatrician with a special interest in behavioral pediatrics. She serves on the medical committee of the Alliance for Therapeutic Choice and Scientific Integrity, has served on the board of directors, that is, of the National Association for Research and Therapy for Homosexuality. She received her medical degree in 1994 from the University of Connecticut School of Medicine and completed an internship and residency in pediatrics in 1997 at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center in Hartford. Dr. Critella, so good to have you back here on Crosstalk.
Very good to be here. Thank you.
We'll cover a number of issues pertaining to this suicide study that came out. But before we do that, there are some medical professionals that are claiming that people are born transgender. Are they?
There's no rigorous science to support that claim. And the bottom line is, thinking and feeling is not hardwired like skin color. That is behavior genetics 101. Okay, twin studies prove no one is born destined to be anorexic, in which case the person mistakenly believes that they are obese when they are thin, and likewise, no one is born destined to believe that they are not their biological sex. Hmm. Genetics does not work that way. Behavior does not work that way.
So let's talk about the study that came out, Transgender Adolescent Suicide Behavior. It was in the journal known as Pediatrics. Tell us about the study.
So this study did examine a large number of adolescents, and what was unique about this study is that it broke down the rates of suicide attempts according to the children's gender identities, and what it found that the lower suicide rates, if you had a biological girl who identified herself as a girl, or a biological boy who identified himself as a boy, those groups had the lowest suicide attempt rates. The teenagers who had the highest rates were girls who believed themselves to be boys, and after that, it was teens who identified themselves as neither a boy or a girl. Hmm. They chose the term non-binary. So these authors were saying that this is useful information in the sense that if you have girls who come to your office saying they're boys, realize that they are at higher risk for attempting suicide. And my caution in the article to the Daily Signal was that I'm concerned that this will be used to pressure parents of girls who think they're transgender, that this will be used to pressure those parents to more rapidly rush their daughters into transition with these very dangerous hormones and rush them off for double mastectomies before they're even old enough to consider driving a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking 13-year-olds?
Yeah.
And you talk about this pressure that that parents can have applied to them if they don't succumb to, in essence, the dysphoria of their child. And I understand some can even take that so strongly that unless you help your child, you could be at fault if they commit suicide.
Yes, that is the message that comes across often directly. I mean, parents will be told, if you do not support your child's claims, you're an abusive parent. You absolutely must support them, help them transition socially, give them a new name, get them on these drugs, the whole nine yards, or you are abusive. And unfortunately, I mean, I've received calls from families, parents going through divorce, and one parent is siding with So the parents are going through a divorce, and despite the fact that the divorce seems to have triggered their daughter's gender dysphoria suddenly, The doctors are still recommending full transition. And so one parent will side with the doctors. The other parent is on the phone with me crying in tears, please help me, stop this, write me a letter. And the judges are siding with the pro-transition parent. And unfortunately, it's because, and quite frankly, the medical organizations, the mainstream leading medical organizations, have been taken over by left-leaning political activists.
The study that came out, does this seem to equate the health of all gender identities, that everybody is equally healthy as far as their measuring statistics?
So what's interesting about this study is that the authors of the study simply assume that having a transgender identity is normal, healthy, inborn, and not changeable. And as we started off the hour, there's absolutely no rigorous science on their side. There's no rigorous science that says you are born this way. And the opposite is true. We know from twin studies that no one is born hardwired, be it for anorexia or transgender or body dysmorphia. It's simply not how genes do not determine behavior in and of themselves, the way genes determine skin color. We know that behavior can be changed, thinking can change, feelings can change, especially in children and especially in adolescents, where the brain is going through such rapid growth and fine-tuning.
There's a theory out there known as minority stress theory. What is that?
So the minority stress theory refers to the distress that minority populations can experience through prejudice, harassment, unjust discrimination. So it doesn't refer only to those with different sexual identities, but, ethnic groups, any minority. The danger is that when it comes to looking at LGBT disparities in health, all of the health risks or negative impact experienced by the LGBT individuals is essentially blamed on social discrimination, stress arising from prejudice. But that's simply not the case. I mean, clearly, no one is saying that prejudice or unjust discrimination is good. It clearly is not good, and it clearly does cause distress. But it is not sufficient in and of itself to explain the tremendously elevated suicide rates.
So some of the conclusions that some are drawing from the study indicate that suicidal thoughts are increased when a person is not affirmed in their gender dysphoria.
Right.
That's what they're concluding. You don't agree with that?
No, that's not, because that's not what the study indicates. They mm-hmm. have not explored reasons. And just as an example, you would think, who would experience greater discrimination or prejudice, a black male or a white male in society? Well, clearly, you would say black men are more likely to be experiencing unjust discrimination. Now, if we use the transgender researchers' approach, we would say, oh, so black men should have a much higher suicide rate than white men, because minority stress, you know, it's so awful and bad, and it's behind suicide rates. The opposite is true. Suicide rates are actually higher among white males than black males.
Hmm.
So the error that's being perpetuated by researchers, physicians, and therapists on the transgender research is they are simply putting all their eggs in the minority stress basket, and they're not looking elsewhere.
Dr. Michelle Critella is our guest today. She's president of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Critella, in this study here that's come forth, is there any proof given that, surgery-changing therapy or any kind of radical therapy is going to prevent adolescents from attempting suicide?
There's simply no data available to prove that essentially helping them impersonate the opposite sex, there's no proof that that's going to prevent suicide in the long term. You know, the best research we have is still in adults, and it happened in a very LGBT-affirming country in Sweden, 30 years out from transitioning, that's with hormones and surgery. The transgender adults had suicide rates, and these were completed suicides, that was 19 times greater than the general population. So there may be a honeymoon in the sense, the person is suffering, and they're helped to impersonate the opposite sex, and there's this sense of relief. But by 10 years out, whatever relief they experienced, now the mental health, the depression, the anxiety starts to climb way above the norm. And by 30 years out, they were 19 times more likely to have killed themselves.
Wow, that's significant.
Right. So more than likely, that's what we're doing to our teenagers. And then you have to remember with this, when in terms of childhood transgender identification or gender dysphoria, in childhood, well over 80% will outgrow it. But instead of letting them outgrow it, we're actually manufacturing them into the opposite sex.
I'd like to pick up with that after the break. Dr. Michelle Critella is with us here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about transgender or gender dysphoria suicide. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. A billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the Earth, but it was on day four that he created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, this transgender adolescent suicide behavior came out in pediatrics, and there's all kinds of conclusions people are drawing from this, but our guest is questioning those, and to give in to the transition-affirming therapies just being a serious mistake. Dr. Michelle Critello with us today, president of the American College of Pediatricians and a general pediatrician, a special interest in behavioral pediatrics. Doctor, you were just saying here before the break that well over 80% of children who have or experience some form of gender dysphoria, just grow out of it?
Yes. So for decades, before the adult transgender civil rights movement really kicked off, for decades, children were appropriately treated with family therapy or even watchful waiting. And so if your three-year-old, five-year-old said, "Hey, Mommy, Daddy, I'm not a girl or I'm not a boy," and doctors and therapists would help parents affirm their little girl for the daughter she is, and, you know, so forth. And the vast majority, well over 80%, in some cases, if you were looking at boys who were gender confused, up to 98% of the boys would outgrow it after puberty, you know, by college age, and somewhere up to as many as 88% of confused girls would outgrow it. Once medicine becomes politicized, you know, when you have a medical issue that overlaps with social values, and especially something that gets turned into a civil rights issue, unfortunately, the history has shown us that science is sacrificed on the altar of political correctness.
And I think that's important to understand. I just over the weekend in our Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there was an article about a federal judge just ordering Wisconsin and its insurers to cover transition surgeries for transgender state employees. I mean, we're in a pretty slippery slope here when this indeed, it's become politicized rather than looking at good health.
Right, because it's people are suffering, but they deserve to be told the truth. You know, I mean, adults. If we talk about adults who are experiencing gender dysphoria, number one, they deserve the truth, the full truth. And the fact is, if you look at the science, even for adults, there's a very low success rate in terms of improved health. The studies are poorly constructed, and instead, though, these adults are being told, "Oh, this is standard of care. Yes, you transition, and you know you'll be feeling like $1 million." Now, I can agree that as adults, they are matured, they have the cognitive capacity to look at risk versus benefit, and they may choose to go this way, right? But they deserve the truth, and even adults are not being given the truth to make a solid, you know, good decision. But to go ahead and the state, you know, like you're saying, that the for justices or legislatures to mandate that states pay for these procedures is highly unethical and dangerous.
You have used this phrase, Dr. Critello. You have said happiness is not always consistent with good health. Expound on that.
Sure. Happiness does not mean health, especially in mental health. You know, and again, using anorexia as an example, I could make a young woman very happy who comes in, she's convinced she's obese, but she's actually 5'6" and weighs 80 pounds. I could make her very happy by prescribing a diet and sending her for liposuction, but I'm not going to do that for obvious reasons. And similarly, physicians who are now being confronted by five-year-olds who think they're the opposite sex, I mean, again, what these five-year-olds and their families really need is reassurance, maybe some therapy, that, no, you know, okay, little Bobby, it doesn't matter that you're artistic and gentle and don't like rough and tumble. You're still a boy, mm-hmm. and we're going to affirm you for being that amazingly artistic and sensitive boy that you are, you know, and instead, you know, and he would outgrow it physically intact, you know, and come to be a young adult and recognize that he is a boy and be happy with it. And instead, we're taking Bobby at age 5 and turning him into Roberta. And as you can imagine, I mean, you take a child who's confused and then you help them role play their confusion or their fantasy, you're reinforcing it. So therefore, he doesn't outgrow it. And he wants the cross-sex hormones. And once you have a young child like that who gets put on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, they are permanently sterilized. And we also know that...
Yeah, come in more on those cross-sex hormones.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll start with the puberty blockers.
Mm-hmm.
The puberty blocker used most often is Lupron. And it is not FDA approved for physically healthy children with gender dysphoria. Lupron is supposed to be used for children with a disease called precocious puberty. Precocious simply means early. So let's say you have a child who's 5 years old, and Tommy's 5 years old, and his body has already started going through puberty. Whoa, that's a problem. It's a disorder, risks with that. We would give Bobby Lupron at age 5, keep him on it perhaps to age 10, 12, and take him off. We would take him off the Lupron at an age that is normal for boys to go through puberty. So let's say age 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's approved. It's been studied, and it works. Now, even though that's an acceptable reason to use Lupron, with any drug, there's still side effects. So when we follow Tommy out, he's now a healthy boy going through normal puberty. In young adulthood, he may have a slightly increased risk for testicular cancer, slightly increased risk for obesity. So my point here is there's only one FDA-approved treatment use for Lupron in children, and that's precocious puberty, and it still has side effects. In little boys as they grow up, maybe some increased risk of obesity, maybe increased risk of testicular cancer. Girls who are treated for precocious puberty do have a risk of developing severe osteoporosis as young women. Now, what you hear from the gender experts is Lupron is totally safe and because it's fully reversible, nothing to worry about. And they're using it in these perfectly healthy children. So, number one, it's a lie. They're not telling the parents about the side effects we know when it's used for precocious puberty. And number two, they claim it's fully reversible. But you have to say, wait a minute. You're giving Joey, who thinks he's Janie, you're giving Joey Lupron to stop his puberty, which is a normal process at the right time. And if Joey stays on it for 5 years, and then decides he wants to come off, you can't say that he hasn't had any harm because you just robbed him of 5 years of normal development. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, puberty blockers are not fully reversible. And the one study we have that looked at these healthy, physically healthy but confused children, when they're put on puberty blockers, 100% of them stayed on and went for the sex change hormones, which means they then became permanently sterile. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're taking little children who over 80% of whom would have outgrown it, and we're fixing them into this false transgender identity. And as you said, I'm sorry, you asked me about the side effects for the sex change hormones, too. Those mm-hmm. are even worse. We're talking cardiac disease, heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, diabetes, potential for cancers. So this is, it really is institutionalized child abuse because we're setting these kids up for severe, severe disease. We're robbing them of their true sexual identity. This is serious.
Well, whatever happened to the oath that physicians take of do no harm?
Exactly, and that's our argument. So it's the American College of Pediatricians, we are perhaps the most vocal speaking out because of the impact on children. We are also joined by the Christian Medical Association, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and the Catholic Medical Association. And that's our biggest thing. Look, first, do no harm. You do not have to be religious. You know, there's AAPS, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and the ACPEDS. We are not religious physician groups. You don't have to be Christian to say, hey, we all took an oath to first do no harm. And this, the science just is not on the side of transition.
Dr. Michelle Crutella is with us today. By the way, their website is acpeds.org. That's certainly the American College of Pediatricians, acpeds.org. And you can certainly find a lot of helpful information on this topic. But just even doing an internet search with her group or Dr. Michelle Crutella and the word transgender, and you'll find helpful articles on this very aspect. Dr. Crutella, it's almost like an epidemic where more and more children and teens are identifying as transgender, and it's not just here in the U.S., but elsewhere. According to the Times in the U.K., the number of girls referred for gender reassignment has risen by nearly 4,500% in less than a decade, from 40 cases back around 2009 to 10 to 1,806 cases, 2017 to 2018. Why are we seeing such a sharp increase, whether it be the UK or the US?
Yeah, it's and especially among girls. There is definitely a social contagion aspect to this. In other words, marketing, right? A teenager's job is to try on different identities. They are searching to find their role in society. Who are they? Where do they fit in? And virtually anywhere and everywhere they look, they are being confronted by this transgender identity. I mean, online, Reddit, YouTube, Tumblr, there are multiple chat rooms and videos and in the movies and no matter where they look, even the books they're reading. And it's just glamorized. This whole transgender phenomenon, it's glamorized, and not only glamorized, but put forth as this is the answer to if you're angst and if you're depressed, if you're anxious, hey, it's because you're trapped in the wrong body. And so they are latching on to this.
Wow. Folks, we'll be opening phone lines in just a minute. I just have another question or two for Dr. Crutella, which we'll pick up after the break. But this is something that is hitting the nation by storm, and it's becoming more and more, quote-unquote, politically correct. This is the direction that our society is headed. Folks, there's danger. We'll be right back.
How can three persons be one God? Does the Bible support slavery? Is homosexuality acceptable to God? Is it okay for Christians to get hypnotized? Is suicide an unforgivable sin? How can I talk to a Muslim about Jesus? Why was Abel's offering accepted by God when Cain's was rejected? Hundreds of questions just like these are addressed in The Big Book of Bible Answers by respected Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. Consisting of over 400 pages, Ron addresses some of the most common questions about the Bible, about God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, angels and demons, prophecy, the afterlife, ethics, and apologetic issues with clear, concise answers. The Big Book of Bible Answers is available from VCY for a donation of just $17 or more. Simply request it with your donation when you call 1-800-729-9829.
folks, keep in mind there's a number of very liberal activist groups that are out there, even in physician groups. And I'm referring to groups like the American Academy of Pediatricians. That's different than the organization we're talking with today. But Dr. Curtella, I know it's groups like this that actually instruct pediatricians to actually validate all gender identities in children. Your organization doesn't do that.
Right. So the American Academy of Pediatrics is almost 90 years old. For a long time, they were the only pediatric guild to which pediatricians could belong. They do a lot of really solid, good work. There's no question. But when it comes to social issues, you know, such as abortion, contraception, parent rights, and the LGBT issues, they really have gone the way of left-leaning politics rather than objective science. And but unfortunately, because of their long history of being the only game in town, they essentially do advise medical school curricula, residency training programs. So right now, all brand new studying pediatricians are being told that you're born transgender and you must affirm transition to use children. And unfortunately, this is also the message that trickles down to the court system. But there is pushback. There's pushback because this is simply, it is so clear that this is ideology. It is so clearly contrary to science and common sense. And there's just so much at stake, so much harm that can be done to children. And I mean, in the legal realm, it erases girls' rights and women's rights. In the state of Connecticut, for example, two high school boys who identify as transgender ran away with the girls' track title in Connecticut just last year. It's wrong. This is just, it is absolutely wrong. And then, of course, there are more and more stories of girls in schools across the country, you know, walking in, finding boys in their bathrooms, and the girls have no recourse.
Right. It seems the problem is with them if they object.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Could it be that the very underlying elements that bring about gender dysphoria could also be influencing the suicidal tendencies?
Right. So this is the other aspect that researchers in the area of gender dysphoria are not exploring. There, for example, the same underlying factors which drive a child to be depressed, anxious, and suicidal in some children, some teenagers may also be driving them to believe that they are transgender. An example, if this was a case, not a patient of mine, but it is a case that I know of, a teenage girl was a victim of a survivor of rape, terrible, violent rape. She, following that, wanted to chop her hair real short, dressed like a male, and said, that's it. Ultimately, she started saying, I am a boy. Now, she did receive therapy. What was going on there? It came down to the issue of safety. She subconsciously internalized, oh my gosh, I'm so weak, women are weak, and kind of blaming herself for the attack, and her subconscious just dissociated from her body, biological sex, sort of on the idea of, I'm a boy. If I'm a boy, if I'm a male, this isn't going to happen again. I'm strong. So clearly, not every girl or woman who is physically assaulted or sexually assaulted has this unconscious or subconscious reaction, but some do. And in her case, that's what it was. So just as rape can drive some women to become gender dysphoric, it can drive other women to become suicidal. This is what needs to be looked at. We have to accept the fact that you're not born, just as you're not born anorexic thinking, you're not born transgender thinking. It is a sign of trauma or a sign of something underlying, an underlying problem.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Michelle Curtell is our guest today. I'm going to open our phone lines, and folks, if you have questions you'd like to ask, now's the time. 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Indeed, this study came out, the transgender adolescent suicide behavior. It came out in pediatrics, and there are many conclusions that are being derived at, folks, that are not based upon sound science. And it has become more politically correct than anything and needs to be called out and needs to be addressed in this regard. Doctor, before we take phone our first call here, I also just want to bring out something that is happening all across this nation, in that there are libraries that are offering drag queen story hours for preschool children. So often we are finding men who are dressed up by women and all the facial makeup and paint and everything else and wearing dresses and, you know, women's clothing and portraying themselves in their deep manly voices. And parents are taking their children and libraries are opening their doors. One library said, well, our parents are asking for this. What's your comment on this? Do you find this dangerous, so to speak, as far as it relates to gender dysphoria, to have these drag queen story hours?
Yeah, parents need to stay away. Stay away. Look, children are not born knowing that they are boys or girls. It is a learned, I mean, just like anything else, okay, that you, our self-awareness is learned over time. Children who are younger than age 7 do not understand that sex is permanent. When you take young children to these drag queen story hours, number one, they're sexualized. Number two, you're teaching them a lie that sex, I mean, they're looking at these men in drag and they will actually believe, oh, just dress up, put makeup on, and you change your sex. This is not healthy. What you want to teach, I mean, what I suspect most parents, I think what they have on their mind is, I want my child to be kind. And, of course, we should all want that. You can teach them to be kind in many healthy ways. You're not teaching kindness by exposing them to a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, check with your local libraries. It's going on, and don't take your children to this. Doctor, they're very, very impressionable in that regard, and certainly one can perpetuate the whole aspect of gender dysphoria in children that attend these.
Yes, it is. Now, the gender experts, you know, the AAP says, oh, no, absolutely not. You are born with your gender identity. That is a myth. That is a lie.
Well, if that's the case, why do people go back and forth all the time?
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, you're born. It is riddled with so many contradictions, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
This is truly an ideology. Oh, yeah, you are born with your gender identity. It is fixed and unchangeable. But gender expert, yesterday Janie was a girl, and today Janie is Joey, and it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because gender is fluid. But you just, okay, they contradict themselves. And it doesn't matter. This is why it is ideology. It is contrary to science, contrary to common sense, dangerous for children, and wreaking havoc in law.
Our guest website, acpeds.org. Let's go to Freda. Freda in Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The thing that concerns me is these children are too young to even really understand who and how are their rights being stood up for to prevent these parents from changing their identity when the child doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah. It, and it doesn't help, and doctor, we'll have you comment as it doesn't help when a child is born and saying it's a boy or it's a girl, they say it's a baby.
You were reading my mind. Right. It's a baby. No, I mean, the one of the first physical realities we encounter as children is our bodies. And our bodies tell us who we are. And if a child can't trust his body, who or what is he supposed to trust? You know, and if you can't trust your parents to lead you, who can you trust? So I agree with you. It's a tragedy.
Freda, thank you so much for the call. We've got Robert Colling from Gaithersburg, Maryland. You're on the air, Robert.
Good afternoon. I was fortunate to see Dr. Cretella at a conference this past Saturday. She did such an excellent job. I'd be interested in getting a copy of the PowerPoint presentation you gave. My question is, in Maryland, the legislators passed this conversion therapy ban, and that blocks therapists from bringing minors back from transgenderism. What can we do to push back on that law or get it repealed? Or
there are law firms working on that, because the Supreme Court case that protected the pregnancy centers in California, that ruling basically, part of it is also applicable to speech in therapy. So I think we will eventually see lawsuits being filed against states with therapy bans. In the meantime, there are ways. I would say if there are families with children and parents would like to know other avenues to pursue other therapies that may be helpful, they can go to the ACP's website and or contact us, and we can send some information. So while one avenue, the most direct avenue of therapy, is blocked, there are other avenues that may be helpful in sort of treating underlying conditions.
Thank you, Robert. Again, the website acpeds.org, and that case was NIFLA versus Becerra, and some significant ramifications from this. And there's Liberty Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, Pacific Justice Institute, and many others that certainly are there to defend certainly the moral values of our nation. Thank you, Robert. We have, Leroy is next in Atlanta. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Doc.
Hi.
Yeah, I shared some of the information from your last visit with two lawyers here in Atlanta on their radio show, and I got to tell you, they said that you were right and wrong about the 6,500 markers that let everyone knows what they are. And I had to defend you and tell them that, you know, she didn't find her doctorate in a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah. Leroy, I'm going to have her comment on that after the break. Thanks for the call. About those markers, we'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Over the years, we have increasingly warned you about the red-green axis, the red being communism, and the green being the universal color of the Islamic flag. Well, Jeff Nyquist recently reported that, quote, in a recent published article by the Ketchyan Institute in Russia, B. Azarov explained that the Soviet government in 1918 was guided by understanding Islam as a close ideology to the communist doctrine. After all, he writes, Islam favored ideals of equality, social justice, and the redistribution of wealth. According to Azarov, Moscow's initial plan in the region was to, quote, transform Islam into an Eastern edition of communism, end quote. Even former KGB agents are now admitting the Soviet Union has used Islam for global communism.
We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Michelle Critella is our guest today, president of the American College of Pediatricians. Their website, acpeds.org. That's acpeds.org. Dr. Critella, what about those markers he was talking about?
Yes. So there was a breakthrough sort of blockbuster study roughly about a year ago out of a university in Israel. They identified 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. And what these were, they looked at tissues from men and women, so parts of the tissues of the body between men and women that were identical, and genes or DNA that they shared, and they found within that 6,500 differences. So this notion that, you know, there's no such thing as a man or woman, that the sexual binary is made up, is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so thank you, Leroy.
he defended you.
Yes.
And folks, again, you know, here is a Christian broadcast network. It goes back to Genesis. God created male and female. That's what we're told in Genesis 1:27. That's our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Don, calling from Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, it's good to hear the truth from both of you all, Jim and Michelle, about this subject, and I'm calling, my comment's going to be about transgender birth, being born that way, and we know that there's blue for boy, the blanket in the hospital, pink for girl. Are they going to come out with a magenta-colored outfit to put them in? A serious subject here.
Yeah.
I have a bachelor in psychology. I was lost, and I earned and studied to get a bachelor's in divinity, and I discovered then that the little bit of truth, that 20% of truth that psychologists and psychiatrists have, came from the scriptures, from the Word of God, from God's mouth. It's interesting to me also that the voice, you know, it's scary when you see a female with a male's voice and vice versa.
Yeah, and,
it's very frightening to children, yeah.
Yeah, and even just to add on to that, but that person is not female, that person is still male. And I want you to cover this too, Doctor. There's nothing one can do to actually change male to female or female to male.
Exactly. No, you cannot change your sex, because sex is what is determined by our sex chromosomes, and those are present in every single cell of our bodies.
And when does that when is that determined?
At fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, the other side does talk about disorders of sex development, but they usually use the word intersex and to confuse people, to make people believe that there are three options, that you could be born male, female, or intersex. But the fact is, the design, human design, is male or female, as determined by sex chromosomes. In a very tiny percentage of fertilizations, there are some genetic abnormalities. 1 out of 2,000 babies, so only 1 out of 2,000 babies, may be born with genitalia that you can't quite tell which is it. But testing, you know, that's a medical condition, and that's when testing is required. And again, it's 1 out of 2,000 babies. So clearly an exception to the rule, but not a new kind of person or a new kind of sex.
Thank you, Dan, for the call. We've got a number of people lined up here. Annalise in Toledo, Oregon, you're on the air.
Thank you. I was the person who called in last week about this whole concept of the transgendering that's going on through the libraries and what was happening as a result of this kind of media that keeps politicizing this transgenderism as the thing to do, that They were actually saying in Britain that a child under five, it's their right, a child even under three, their right to transgender, as if a child at that age even understands their own sexuality at 3 years or 5 years old. But, you know, the library to which I spoke said that when I spoke to the heads of the library, they said, well, there are so many people asking for this kind of information, wanting their children to be exposed to this because they're bullied at schools if they are not familiar with two mommies, two daddies in a family, or a transgendered child, so they don't want them to be bullied. In fact, they want them to take part in these great games and the other things that Jim just so well enunciated that goes on in the libraries. But, you know, I really thought about it, and I considered that perhaps what the parents should do is go to the library and actually challenge them on bringing this kind of information so, you know, forcefully to a small child. Mm-hmm. Now, each child that comes there under a teenage age has to be accompanied by a parent, they said, but that the rates of people that are coming in are over two, when they have a capacity of 300, they have more than 300 to 500 people applying to come in.
My Annalise, forgive me for interrupting, but we're down to just less than a minute, and I do want to have time for Dr. Critella to respond. Your thoughts, Doctor?
It's really heartbreaking and frightening that so many people are being duped by this. And I think, unfortunately, it's just this massive politicization and propaganda. And we just have to push back, I guess, as you said, even if it's one person at a time, just educating one person at a time, starting with family and friends.
And I appreciate the fact that your organization is pushing back, Dr. Critella, the American College of Pediatricians, and you've got helpful articles and information on your site that will benefit our listeners.
Thank you.
Dr. Critella has been our guest today. Sorry to other callers yet holding, but we've run out of time for the broadcast. You can get more information, acpeds.org, acpeds.org. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.